That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 800-259-9231. Of course, the point of the show is for you to call in and talk about whatever it is that's interesting to you. Absent that, we will talk about what's interesting to us, and the us tonight would include me, Ian.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you, if you make the call at 800-259-9231. You can join us, by the way, online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com, right into your phone calls. We go to Alex in Wisconsin. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm fairly new to the whole concept of the free market, and I've gradually been understanding more and more, but one thing that I particularly had trouble with, and I thought I'd call and see if you guys could help clarify and help me understand it more, is the idea of how, I don't know if justice is the right word, but how a penalty-type system would work for something like, say someone commits murder.
It's an excellent question.
Because I understand the concept of restitution if someone steals. And that, to me, is more straightforward, but something like murder doesn't seem like it has such a simple answer.
No, it certainly does not. Obviously, putting a price tag on somebody's life would be a very difficult thing to do. Certainly, you could argue that no price would be high enough.
However, that's generally how it's been done in the history of man.
What do you mean?
Well, there's been a price. You know, essentially, people were, for one, it's called Wehrgeld, was the German system. But, you know, at some point or another, you had to support either the family, or you had to compensate in some way if you killed somebody, even accidentally. It would seem to me that you would penalize someone for murdering someone as opposed to negligently killing them, but
I would think so. And well, today, though, the compensation is not virtually non-existent in most murder cases.
Yeah.
The victim is dead, and the family of the victim and the loved ones of the victim they have to go without. In fact, not only do they have to go without any form of compensation from the actual killer. I mean, and by the way, we're also presuming the crime has been solved here. We also should point out that the police, as I'm sure they do their best. I'm sure they really do their best to try to solve crimes like that. The reality, of course, is that I think it's something like 80% of murders go unsolved, something like that. It's shockingly high. So presuming that they have got the right guy, and presuming they go through the trial and he is found guilty, then he sits and rots in a prison cell, and nothing is ever done to make the individuals who are the victims, the tangential victims to the situation, as whole as they possibly can be. Will they ever be completely whole? No way. The loved one, that the person they loved, was taken away from them. But at least they could receive some sort of compensation, should that be something they want, which they currently don't get at all. That is not even an option on the table in the current governmental justice system. And many of the things that we talk about in improving the justice system, a lot of the things can be done within the current governmental structure.
Yeah.
So,
that's sort of where I come from on this one. I don't think people are prepared today to take an entire new look at the judicial system. It's one of the It's the longest, historically longest running thing that we have in America. Our system's very similar to the common law systems that came up about 1,000 years ago. So, I mean, it's just sort of evolved. And I don't know how it is that people would adapt to something entirely new like free market justice. But I do think that we really could look at restitution as to victims, as opposed to just punishing people by putting them in prison, which only enriches the state and victimizes the victim twice, because they have to pay for these people to be in prison through taxes.
So how do you feel about all that?
I still don't know. That's just a really hard thing for me to get around, because for a long time I've always been against these pointless laws that put people in prison that I pay for, like the drug laws or just stupid things like that.
Okay.
And I mean, when I started listening to you guys, I heard you guys say there shouldn't be, it's not a crime if there are no victims. I'm all for that. And I started to listen to Market for Liberty. And like, I understood the concept of restitution. I thought that really made sense. But then I thought, well, what in the case of murder? And I do agree the victims should be, the true victims, the family should be paid back in some way. But like you guys said, it's hard to give them, put value on a person's life. And depending on the situation, sometimes the families probably don't want anything to do with that person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily right for us to just say, well, you killed someone, so an eye for an eye, we're taking your life.
I agree. I think that's a barbaric solution to the problem. I think that certainly forgiveness is the appropriate way to go, but nobody is obligated to forgive the person who has taken another's life from theirs. So what I would suggest is that we allow the marketplace to decide. And when I say that, it's not just to just pass it off. It's to say that what we currently have, the current governmental judicial system, is very regimented, very rigid in its sentencing guidelines and how the whole process actually works. Some places are more rigid than others, as far as, you know, you have to have this mandatory minimum or this maximum, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that if a family finds the idea of getting a check every year or every month or whatever from the perpetrator to be of value, then they should be able to receive that. If the family would prefer to not have any contact whatsoever, even if they would feel better without having anything to remind them of the past, then that should be an option on the table as well. And I think that whatever it is that would work to solve the to resolve the issue to the satisfaction of as many of the parties involved as possible, I think would be the ideal situation. I think only the marketplace can bring that, whereas the governmental system has a very limited amount of options.
Yeah, and that's kind of my friend who I talk to about a lot of these things, when sometimes I can't figure out the answers myself, or I can't get them from other places. He says lots of times you just have to realize that the free market will figure things out. It's just it needs a chance to. The only way it can be given a chance to is if we actually went into a free market where people could decide what works and what doesn't work and just let it run its course.
Well, think about this for a moment. I mean, let's look at two different kinds of a murder situation. Let's look at a crime committed in the heat of passion, where the individual who actually committed the murder is truly sorry for what he has done. And then let's look at somebody who's a madman, a Jeffrey Dahmer or something like that, somebody who has no remorse whatsoever for the acts he's committed, who has continued to commit and will continue to commit those same acts onto the future. Should a Jeffrey Dahmer, and let's just say Jeffrey's only gotten, let's say he's only killed one person, and the other guy's only killed one person. Jeffrey Dahmer got caught the first time. And so let's say, and look at these two individuals. Well, does one man deserve 10 years while the other man deserves also 10 years because the crime was still murder? Do the motivations matter? Does the individual's remorse factor in? If you have somebody who is interested in turning his or her life around, should they not be given the opportunity to do something like that? Whereas if the other individual is not showing any remorse whatsoever and is vowing to continue harming others, even if they were to be released,
fool would do that.
Well, certainly they wouldn't do that, but should that person be released? Should that person? It's a tough question, but I think there is a difference between the two, and I think that, again, having the flexibility to deal with each individual circumstance as it comes up is the only thing that is something you can get only from the marketplace. And the government, even though they try to continue to expand the laws, they continue to write down whenever any new instance of a crime being committed happens that doesn't fit the current written down law paradigm, they attempt to expand out the law to include that particular instance, but it never can cover everything. It can never cover all of the bases. It can never cover all of the possible circumstances, and it can never address them all to the maximum extent they should be addressed. So I think that the marketplace would solve that.
Yeah, that is the one area where I know you would probably still consider me a fascist just because I can't think of a better option, but truthfully, I'm not the one that would be making the decisions, and I'm not the best person to make decisions about things like this because I don't know enough about it. It's the one concept I've been really having trouble wrapping my head around. And I find,
let me tell you, it took me a while when I first read the chapters in The Market for Liberty that were addressing the issues of private market justice. It was the most difficult section of the book for me to understand. And it took me a couple readings to really start to internalize it, and it took me some time as well. It wasn't something that you couldn't just hit one reading and then read it again. You had to kind of ruminate on it, I guess. And I thank you for the call and the discussion, because I'm sure it's helping more than just you. 800-259-9231, that is the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
It's time now for the Get Motivated Minute, designed to empower you to achieve your toughest goals with acclaimed motivational expert and success strategist, Tamara Lowe.
Do you have a hard time hiring new employees and deciding who's best? I make most of the hiring decisions for key positions in our company, and our motivational research has shown me how to better fit people and positions together. I first list the non-negotiable aptitudes that we need for the job. Then I write down the behaviors, skills, and experience that the ideal candidate for the position needs. This reveals the motivational DNA type that would be best suited for the opening. With budgets tighter and even less room for error, hiring the right person is crucial. Using motivational DNA as a key part of your hiring process will help you choose the best candidate for the job. For the Get Motivated Minute, I'm Tamara Lowe.
To learn more and to discover your motivational DNA profile, take the free test at getmotivatedbook.com. Drawing on two decades of research and thousands of interviews, in Get Motivated, Tamara Lowe reveals a groundbreaking tool to identify your unique motivational DNA. With simple strategies and specific steps, she provides advice on how to reach your goals quicker and easier than ever before. Get Motivated is available now wherever books are sold.
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit Organicaseed.com. At Organicaseed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to Organicaseed.com. That's Organicaseed.com. Organicaseed.com today.
Time is more precious than money. You could be running out of time. I want to share something with you about your body. Quote, make no mistake about it, parasites are the most toxic agents in the human body. They are one of the primary underlying causes of diseases and are the most basic cause of a compromised immune system. Dr. Hazel Parcells, PhD. Quote, we have a tremendous parasite problem right here in the U.S. It is just not being addressed. Dr. Peter Wina, quote, in terms of numbers, there are more parasitic infections acquired in this country than in Africa. Dr. Frank Nova, chief of the Laboratory for Parasitic Diseases of the National Institute of Health. As you can see, parasites are more dangerous than you think. For about a buck a day, you can rid yourself of all parasites. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea. Make an investment in your life. And P.S. I really like it.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
What you want, just dial the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free. They include the updates. You get signed up, we will keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just go to updates.freetalklive.com and get on that list for free. That's updates.freetalklive.com. According to the Computer Privacy Handbook, normal internet technology is the most comprehensive surveillance system ever invented. Put a stop to email snooping with an easy-to-use email alternative from PrivacyHarbor.com. Because normal email is not secure, that's PrivacyHarbor.com. As we continue taking your phone calls here, let's talk to Jason in California. Jason, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's it going?
Jason, what's on your mind tonight?
A couple things. First one, what do you guys think about the White House taking over the census?
I'm not sure I've heard about it yet. Do fill me in. What's that? What does that mean? Why is it significant?
I've only heard a few things, but I guess Obama is wanting to take over the census that goes on every 10 years and make it be like basically a federal job, from what I understand. But
well, that's already
a
federal job, so I'm not sure as to you're just saying they're sort of reorganizing it because it's already the feds that do the census.
Gotcha. I don't know. I only read like a small paragraph on it, and I'll have to look more into it.
Has anybody else heard about this?
It could be, just speculating, that maybe they intend to do a rolling census as opposed to
They already have a census.
Annual.
They already have a census that goes that continues on. It's not the census as constitutionally mandated, but it is a census that continues on throughout the 10-year period. So they sort of already had that. Anyway, just curious as to what that was all about. And anything else on your mind tonight, Jason?
Yeah, the other one was how Facebook was signing was trying to get people to sign the new term of use agreement, and it being a pretty good example for free markets because a lot of people were complaining about it and they backed down.
So what were in these new terms that were worthy of complaining?
It wasn't very privacy friendly. It said that if you wanted to delete your account, they own the rights to what you posted, and they could do with it what they choose, including sublicensing and other things like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an interesting example of how consumers complaining about the service they're receiving results in the service provider, in this case, listening. And actually doing something about it. And that's kind of the difference between, you know, a Facebook and an old dinosaur like an RIAA. Facebook hears the consumers saying, we want this or we don't appreciate this, and they are responding, whereas these old guys like the RIAA or the NPAA, just to name two examples of old behemoth organizations, hear their consumers saying, hey, we want more stuff that we don't have to pay for, and they are not responding. They are instead choosing to lash out in violence against their consumers.
Yeah, they'll thrash around for another decade and then they'll disappear. But when you look at the government, when 90%, 99% of the people responded as far as the bailout, the first one, bailout part one, 90 people responded and said, no, we don't want this.
Yeah.
And what did they get? They did it anyway because you need this. So now people are forced to pay. So the government's even a worse model than the MPAA or the RIAA.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you, Jason. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Let's talk to Liberty in New Hampshire. Liberty, you're on Free Talk Live.
Is this me, Ian?
Hello. Is this Libertine or Liberty?
It's Libertine.
Libertine, what is on your mind tonight?
Well, you had asked me to call about the trial that happened today.
Oh, excellent. I was a little confused because it said here in the show preps or the show screening that you had a baby today.
Well, maybe you need to take another call because I definitely didn't have a baby.
That's why I didn't think it was you because they screened you as Liberty in New Hampshire. Okay, so let's set our listeners up with what went down today. You had gone to court here in New Hampshire based on a open container charge. Was that what it was?
That's right, transporting alcoholic beverages.
You were in the car with another activist, Mike Barsky, up here and traveling from one point to another. I guess you did have some sort of an alcoholic beverage with you, which,
absolutely,
of course, was harming no one. You were the passenger in the car. Obviously, if you're a passenger in the car, there is no risk whatsoever to having an alcoholic beverage with you.
I guess the idea there is that if the driver might be so want to drink so bad that they could just reach over and take a sip, maybe.
I don't know what it is.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just an absurd prohibition. And they pulled Mike over for whatever reason. You happen to be there. You got caught up in it. At the time, it was your first real encounter with New Hampshire law enforcement. You're a Free State Project member. You moved here as part of this movement of hundreds of people, thousands soon, coming here to New Hampshire in order to get active for liberty. And so being your first interaction with the police, things were relatively tense. You were nervous, as I understood it. And maybe you let them know a little more than you might have should have let them know. They asked you some questions that you answered that maybe in retrospect, hindsight being 2020, you probably would have preferred to not have answered that way. But all that said, it all ended up working out pretty well for you today, Libertine. Share with us what you have to share about this trial today.
Well, I want to go back about being nervous. This was actually one of the few times where I had an encounter with a cop where I wasn't.
Really?
Yes, it was quite unusual. I did offer information, which in retrospect I wish I hadn't. But as you mentioned, in the end, it ended up working out well.
Well, I apologize for putting words into your mouth. I guess when I figured there was an encounter with a cop in which you spoke too much, I figured it was nerves that would have allowed that to happen. But in fact, you were actually feeling too comfortable, perhaps, that allowed you to speak a little more than you might have expected to.
Well, I think that coming, moving to the Free State Project and being around people is really... has really been an educational experience. And, of course, I could go into a lot of that. I tend to be very honest, and I was raised to tell the truth. And when people ask me questions, give them answers. I'm beginning to see that that is not always the most appropriate thing to do, especially when encountered with law enforcement officials.
I agree. However, I'd like to inject something here or interject something, and that is that telling the truth is a great idea. However,
absolutely,
giving answers does not necessarily have to mean that you lie. I guess what I mean by that is that the counter to telling truth is not necessarily to lie. It could simply be to omit the truth. So
you're absolutely right, and I didn't mean to infer that. What I did mean is that perhaps I didn't need to answer the questions at all.
Yes, there is no obligation to answer any questions from any government bureaucrats at any time. Obviously, they are men with guns, so they are intimidating in many cases, but as you were saying, you were not intimidated by these men.
No. There were three of them. We ended up with three very beefy cops, and they were intimidating.
So you were not arrested that night. They gave you a citation, set a court date.
A summons, yes.
A summons, and then you went to that that particular hearing, pled, I presume, not guilty?
Correct.
And then they scheduled the actual trial for today. So if you'll hang on, I want to bring you back, and we'll talk more about what occurred today. In the same courtroom, I might add, that a couple of activists were recently arrested in Milford District Court here in New Hampshire. The same judge, I presume. We'll find out all the details here in a few moments as to what went down with Libertine's trial today here in New Hampshire. At 800-259-9231, it's another activist success story coming up in moments.
Do you have trouble sleeping due to sensations in your legs? You are not alone. Millions of Americans suffer from restless legs. Restless legs is a condition caused by the uncontrollable urge to move your legs. Signs include itching, pulling, tugging, and the feeling that bugs are crawling on your legs. If having restless legs is preventing you from getting the good night's sleep you deserve or is preventing you from enjoying life, you need Restulex. Restulex is an all-natural supplement that contains 74 essential vitamins, minerals, and herbs that you may not be getting in your diet. Restulex will help ease and comfort your restless legs within 24 hours and will allow you to go back to your regular routine without discomfort or embarrassment.
Call 888-4-FIT-LEGS. That's 888-434-8534. Or visit 4FITLEGS.com. That's the number 4FITLEGS.com. And ask how you can get Restulex for free today.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. If you dial in and take control of the airwaves, toll free at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including the wiki with over 1,800 pages created by listeners just like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com. Get interactive for free. W-I-K-I, wiki.freetalklive.com.
With toosmallforme.com, that's the numeral 2, small, the numeral 4, me.com, you can clean out unwanted or unused kids' items from your home, save some money by grabbing donated items, take advantage of the coupons and freebies, and all the features on the site are absolutely free. It's toosmallforme.com.
All right, we continue with your phone calls and return to Libertine, calling from New Hampshire. Libertine is a Free State Project member, moved here from, I believe it was Hawaii.
Yes.
And you got into your first legal situation, hopefully your last, but your first legal situation when you were pulled over with another activist, Mike Barsky, up here and cited for, what was the exact charge, open container or something or other?
Transporting alcoholic beverages.
Oh, so it wasn't open container, transporting.
Wait.
Well, it is open container.
Oh.
So if you had closed, if the container was sealed, then you would not have been transporting it?
So the cops wouldn't know it was alcohol.
This is correct. If the bottles had had their original seal and all liquid intact inside, it would not have been a problem.
So it's really about the seals. That's interesting. So I could have a bottle of vodka in my car with the top screwed on, and if I was
trans- as long as it's not been opened.
But if it has been open, say I've decided that, you know, it's over at a friend's house for a party, I load up my little bar gear for the party.
Mm-hmm.
Once that top's been opened, I am now
transporting an alcoholic beverage.
Open container.
Unless you put it in the trunk of the car. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's a crappy deal for people that drive trucks without a trunk. What do they do in that case?
I think
case?
You would just have to put it, like, in the back or... I mean, could you put it, if, like, you had a little truck, could you put it behind and, like, under the seat? I mean, would that be considered your trunk, or?
If it's reachable by anybody in the passenger section of the car, it is illegal.
Clearly, you've done your research on this. Is this a misdemeanor charge?
It, was not a misdemeanor. It was a, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not coming up.
Usually it was a violation, a misdemeanor?
It was a violation.
A violation. Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So therefore, oh, that's kind of neat to know, at least, that in New Hampshire, if you're driving with an open container, there's no jail time. Because violations, there's no jail time for those. Of course, if you don't pay the fine, they could theoretically put you in jail. But you went to court over this today at Milford District Court, which was a court that really had some bad things to be said about it recently, as the bailiffs there assaulted some of our activists recently. They arrested them, a couple of them, for just the most asinine of reasons. But yet today, you got a relatively decent response out of the judge at that court going to your trial today for this this open container charge. Why don't you paint the picture for us? What happened today?
The first thing that happened was she left me for the very, very end. And so the only people, yeah, that was interesting. The only people in the courtroom was myself and everybody that came. I don't know if you want them listed.
No, that's all right.
Okay.
Great activists, all of them, I'm sure.
Fantastic. It was a great support system, I've got to say.
Quick question before you go on. Just to make sure it wasn't, was it an alphabetical thing or was it total by chance that they happened to schedule for the end? I mean, does your last name start with Z?
No, it does not.
Okay. So then, this is kind of something that we've observed has happened in the past, is that if they don't want the regular folk to see how they treat the activists, they will schedule the activists for the end of the day, and that's what they did with you.
Well, my name was at, when she called out the list of trials, my name was second.
Hmm.
But when the trials actually took place, I was the very last one.
Okay. So what happened?
The first thing that happened was that I was called forward, and then the police officer was asked to the stand and sworn in, and then he gave his testimony. And that's where I got absolutely blown away, as Kat said, because he began to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this being my first experience, I couldn't believe that this man was under oath and lying.
What kind of lies was he telling? Just give me a couple examples.
He said that I called him rude, and that was the actual word that came out of my mouth on three separate occasions, when in fact I never said that. He said that he demanded that I return to the car three times, and that I refused, when in fact, when he asked me to return to the car, I did, again, being very compliant. He said that he demanded that I get out of the car so that he could get the beer bottles out, when in fact he asked me to reach in and get them for him.
Huh.
He then also said that I refused to unlock the driver's side door after I refused to get out of the car when he asked me to, when he tried to go around to the other side to get the bottles out. So he contradicted himself as well.
Interesting.
Yes. So
he's just trying to paint a picture of you as being a bad person, somebody who is unruly and unreasonable, when, of course, none of that, even if it were true, actually has to do with the actual charge, which is having an open container of
alcohol. Exactly, and this is where I think he made his mistake. He had an open and shut case, which was what the prosecutor told me when I went to my arraignment. He said, we don't have any problem with this. You had the open bottles, the two open bottles in the car. You admitted to drinking the alcohol. In fact, minutes before you were pulled over, it's open and shut. So I don't understand why he did what he did. And the first thing is, he also went into great detail about Mike Barsky and began to tell the entire story. And I think he was talking for almost 5 to 7 minutes before the judge realized that Mike was in the courtroom and was hearing all this. And she stopped the cop and ascertained that Mike was indeed the person that he was talking about, who was in the courtroom and had his own trial coming up, and asked the cop to stop talking about that since it didn't have anything to do with my trial.
So where did it go from there? Was that pretty much their prosecution? Did you mount a defense, or
no,
you pretty much just...
So what he did was he continued to talk, and after he was finished, the prosecutor got up and questioned him extensively and did his best to make sure that everybody there was aware that this was a very well-trained police officer, that he had gone through specific training in detecting alcohol in a vehicle and on breath, and that he was doing his job correctly. At that point, because I was blown away by all the lies that had taken place, when it was my turn, I spoke directly to the judge and asked her, what do I do since he has obviously said things that are untrue? And she detailed out for me that I could either, I could question him at that time, and then I could take the stand and tell my story. I talked with her for a few minutes because I knew I didn't want to take the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a few minutes and some of her coaching to understand how to ask questions while giving information at the same time.
Hmm.
And so by posing my questions with information, I was able to tell what was the truth.
So you could sort of state what you believe to be the truth and then ask something like, is that correct? Or what
this
was the...
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
He said that when he came up to the car on Mike's side, despite the fact that he also stated the window was only open 1 inch, he smelled alcohol emanating from the car. Now, there were two open beer bottles. One was empty and one had maybe a quarter inch of alcohol in it. He stated that when he came up and approached me when I was sitting in the car, that alcohol was coming off my breath and my eyes were watery.
All right, we'll come back with more here with Libertine, one of the activists here in New Hampshire, the rest of her trial, and your thoughts about whatever you want at 800-259-9231. How did it all turn out? We'll find out in moments.
Peter Schiff on the economy.
We're broke. This is not just a financial crisis. This is an economic collapse.
The government is trying to interfere with the free market. All the government can do is create inflation. The government doesn't have any money. They're going to print it.
Doesn't matter if you get your money out of the bank, but then you take it to the grocery store and you can't buy anything.
We're going to die from the cure, not the disease. The change that we need is less government. It's less interference. We're just going to get more of the same, only worse.
Schiffbomb.com, February 21st.
Paid for by PEAC PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
In these uncertain times, safety and precaution are key. Don't rely on others for protection. Protect yourself and your family with products from PepperSpray.com. PepperSpray.com carries the largest assortment of pepper spray and personal safety devices on the web. From home safety to nighttime safety, we have the products you need. Order the discreet pepper mace baton, which relies on a powerful pepper formula that, upon direct contact with an attacker's eyes, forces them to slam shut, causing an intense burning sensation. This refillable unit is designed to be carried as a keyring, easily accessible pepper spray, and a defensive baton. PepperSpray.com is offering a special for all GCN listeners. Order the pepper spray baton and receive a free refill cartridge. Please click the GCN category tab on our site for this offer. Visit us today at PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
SouthSummit.com is the place for top name brand knives such as Kershaw, Spyderco, Cold Steel, Gerber, K-Bar, Boker, Leatherman, and more. South Summit has one of the largest selections of self-defense products on the web. Knives, stun guns, police batons, pepper spray, LED flashlights, emergency kits, binoculars, and tactical gear are just some of the great products found on SouthSummit.com. Receive discounted prices on camping and preparedness products from Camelback, Kelty, and Eureka. Check out our water storage barrels, water purification systems, and Mountain House freeze-dried foods that have a 30-year shelf life. Keep an eye on your family and keep them safe with our do-it-yourself spy camera systems. Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and you'll receive a free LED flashlight with your order. Visit SouthSummit.com. That's South Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, SouthSummit.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-234-8654. That's 1-800-234-8654.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's Free Talk Live. .com. And if you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can become a Free Talk Live amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in and reinvest it into the show. So head over to amp.freetalklive.com to get on board with the AMP program. You get access to perks like the AMP only call-in lines, chat room, forum, and more. So all the details are there at amp.freetalklive.com. We continue talking about the trial that happened today that unfortunately I didn't know about early enough in advance simply because I've been behind on my email, and I guess there's no excuse good enough. I wish I could have been there because it was a successful one. It's always nice to see more successes coming out of New Hampshire. Of course, if you've listened to the show before, you know that the three of us that are hosting tonight, we're all Free State Project members. We moved here as part of the Free State Project, which is a movement of thousands of liberty-minded individuals all moving to New Hampshire in order to get active for freedom. Some are getting active in a more political way. Some are getting active with non-cooperation and civil disobedience. And, of course, all the while, inevitably, some people are going to get picked off by the state for various different charges in the realm of activism. If you're doing activism, it's sticking your head above water to some extent, and inevitably some people are going to be targeted. And Libertine is on the line with us in New Hampshire. You are one of the people that was recently arrested, or not, I guess technically it's not really you weren't really arrested, but you were summoned, which means that if you don't go, they're going to come and arrest you.
That's correct.
It's sort of like technically an arrest, but not in the same way that most people think of it. Anyway, you went to trial for an open container situation, and the cop got up, he testified, tried to make you look like a bad person. He lied during his testimony, and then you were giving us an example of a way that you figured out a way to actually tell your side of the story without taking the stand by essentially stating facts and turning them into questions. And you were giving us one example of that.
Right. And I continued in that way, and the judge allowed it. And at one point, here's where it really came down to him being, it was obvious that he was not telling the truth. The particular beer that I had that I admitted drinking was a Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA, which only comes in 4-packs. And he stated that he saw 6 beers in the car. And I questioned him on that 3 or 4 times. He stated unequivocally there were 6 beers, 4 unopened, 2 opened. And then I stated they only come in 4-packs. At that point, the prosecutor tried to overrule that as being not pertinent to the questioning, but the judge overruled his objection.
Mm-hmm.
And a few minutes after that, I said that I had no more questions, and she asked me if I wanted to state anything, get on the stand. I said, no, I didn't. And then she asked him if he had one more thing to say or if I had said anything else. And he stated that at the very end, after he had released Mike and I both
and given us all our citations, I had gotten out of the car and went back and asked him for my two bottles, because one of the other officers who was a supervisor, had I had asked him for my bottles back, and he told me I could have them. So when I asked this particular officer, he said no, because they were going to be held as evidence.
Okay.
And I told him I wanted them because I homebrew. So this is what the cop told the judge as the final thing. And then she had a question for him, and she asked him what was the temperature of the bottle when I handed it to him from the car. And he said he didn't know. And at that point, she looked down, and then she looked up, and she said, given everything that's been stated here today, I find a judgment of no ruling.
What
does that
mean?
At her blankly, because I had no idea what that meant, and she said, you're free to go.
No ruling?
No ruling.
So it's just wiped off the table, basically? It's not guilty, it's not guilty, it's...
No ruling. honest to God, I think we were all so excited, nobody stopped to ask what exactly that meant.
Huh. Mark, have you ever heard of that before? No ruling?
It sounds like something one might do in a situation of a violation as opposed to, you know, a larger crime. I don't know. No.
Very interesting. So you were able to walk out at that point, and presumably they won't be bothering you with this again?
Presumably. Now, the interesting thing was, at that point, Mike went up to ask her about videotaping at his trial, which is upcoming, and I remembered my beer bottle, which was in plain view on the desk there. And when he was done, I asked her, may I please have my beer bottle back? And she said, absolutely, and handed it to me.
And was this the very large judge that was also the same one for Mike's hearing earlier?
Yes, the same
Interesting.
One.
Well, I'm glad it worked out so well for you, and congratulations on your success. I hope we continue to have more of them. I hope that as the police continue, as they will, to arrest people for nonviolent, peaceful, so-called crimes, like having an open container or, in Andrew Carroll's case, possession of marijuana or whatever the so-called crime might be, hopefully as they continue to bring these cases in front of judges and judges continue to reject them because they've come to understand that they're going to face some major heat from the activist community if they don't start rejecting these things, then eventually that'll lead to the police stopping doing the arrests in the first place, and then maybe we can actually have a little bit more freedom.
I hope so.
Thank you.
I was very much prepared to not pay the fine.
Oh, great.
And go to jail. And
but
so I was very surprised that didn't happen.
So congratulations again, and thank you for the call tonight, Libertino. It's great hearing from you. Always best to hear the story from the lips of those who experienced it. And we've got another activist on the line who was part of the experience today. Mike Barsky is on the line, on the AMP line in New Hampshire.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Mike.
I just wanted to talk about something else that I found interesting about this trial that happened today. I mean, I think it was great that Libertine got released. My personal opinion about no finding, it means that there wasn't enough evidence to make a ruling, so that possibly if they find new evidence, i.e., if I screw up in my trial and they get some information, new information, they might go after her again. I doubt it, but I think that might be what it means.
Interesting.
But two things about this trial today, and one, I'm going to have to pay attention to every time I go to a trial for a court from now on. They were just ringing in money, and we did some rough calculations with their fines that they were assessing. And
right, because you sat through the entire day before they actually had her trial.
Day. Right, and today we did some rough calculations, and we estimated how many employees were working there, the judge, the cops, the bailiffs, the clerks, and how much we guessed how much money they make, and the public prosecutor or the public defender, and we also did a rough calculation of how much money they earned in the state in fines,
mm-hmm.
and they took in roughly $5,000 in 1 hour.
Wow!
And they probably spent about $2,000 that day for employees.
For all the employees in the overhead, yeah.
Right. Well, no, not the overhead. We didn't even consider the infrastructure,
okay.
Just the employees. So it's just ridiculous how much money they're raking in.
And you're talking about people with what were some of the other so-called crimes that you saw happen today? Was it mostly drug possession and alcohol?
No. Today was mostly victimless. There were a lot of
drug possession is victimless.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
There was a lot of driving without registration, driving under suspended license. There mm-hmm. were three thefts in there, but there were a lot of actual victimless ones.
So people were getting multi-hundred-dollar fines, typically,
yeah,
would you say?
Yeah, I think that the cheapest fine was $100, and there was some mention. The judge mentioned an amount of $500,000 for one person, but I think we must have misheard that.
Yeah, probably.
And otherwise, the largest fine was like $2,000 or something.
So what was your other observation from today?
The other observation is actually, I think, very positive. And this is today was the first time I'd ever heard in court a judge issuing sentences, which consisted of fine and possibly jail time, and restitution to the victim. I heard a number of trials, actually it was the three theft trials, or maybe there were four, that the judge said, here's your fines, here's what I find you guilty, here are the fines, and you must pay this amount to the person you stole from or to the company you stole from.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another question for you. You were there, I know there were at least a handful of activists that came out today. Did the activist crowd stand for this particular judge?
Oh, that's interesting, and I'll also add a fact to this. No, we did not stand. There was one point where the judge called a recess before Libertine's trial, of course, just to make us all wait longer. And when the judge was walking out, the bailiff said, please stand. We were all of us activists were the only ones left in the room, and none of us stood, and nothing happened about it.
Great.
But I'm also going to add that Lauren Canario was one of the activists there, and she had taken off her pants and worn, you know, her shirt and long underwear when walking through the metal detector because she didn't want to have any rivets or anything make the thing buzz.
Right, because last time she was there, they wouldn't let her through because she refused to allow herself to be patted down and go through the commands that they were attempting to give her. So very interesting approach on her part. Mike, thanks for sharing tonight, and
sure,
good luck next week because your trial in the same court is happening next week. I hope to make it out for that, sir.
Thanks,
dude. 800-259-9231. Hour number two is coming up. Activist success here in New Hampshire. Hopefully it will continue, and it can with your help. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Peter Schiff on the economy.
We're broke. This is not just a financial crisis. This is an economic collapse.
The government is trying to interfere with the free market. All the government can do is create inflation. The government doesn't have any money. They're going to print it. It
doesn't matter if you get your money out of the bank, but then you take it to the grocery store and you can't buy anything.
We're going to die from the cure, not the disease.
The change that we need is less government. It's less interference. We're just going to get more of the same, only worse.
Schiffbomb.com, February 21st.
Paid for by PEAC PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.